Only a Game is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
It's a mild, sunny weekday afternoon on the campus of Perkins School for the Blind in Watertown, Massachusetts. Such a beautiful day that as I look out over the green, dandelion-dotted infield and the composition track that circles it, it's hard to imagine that on Saturday this place is going to go nuts. That's when the Eastern Athletic Association for the Blind, an organization of schools from Massachusetts to Florida, will stage its 62nd track and field tournament, an event originally designed to demonstrate that students who are blind can be athletes too. Athletes, and as became obvious on Saturday morning when the events got underway, fans as well.
On your marks!
One of the competitors in the 50-yard dash was a slight 20-year-old woman named Erin, who was representing the West Virginia School for the Blind in Romney, West Virginia. Erin and the two other competitors in her heat would race while holding on to devices that slid along cables running the length of the sprint course. Erin's coach is Donna C.
Erin, you got to go when he blows the whistle. Listen. Go, Erin, go!
For blind sprinters, finishing the race is only part of the challenge. After they cross the finish line, they have to turn around and follow the cable back to the start. Maybe it's excess adrenaline, but most of them run back to the starting line.
You're almost here. You're almost here. You're almost here. Stop. Stop.
Nice job, Erin.
There. Good job. You won that beat.
Yes, I did.
Yes, you did. Come on. Here's your cane. You cold? You want to put your jacket back on?
Yes, I'm cold.
Though Erin is a veteran of track meets like the one at Perkins last weekend, I learned after her race that there are some aspects of the competition to which she can't seem to get accustomed.
Well, I didn't like the gun, but I liked the whistle.
And they accommodated you. They blew the whistle instead of shooting the gun.
Yeah.
Most of Erin's responses to my questions about her triumph on the track were short and to the point, but when I asked her about the dance, scheduled to follow the awards ceremony on Saturday evening, she suddenly became more loquacious.
I wanted to dance with Carl, but Carl's the bus driver, so I might dance with him this evening. I like Carl.
He'll be a lucky guy if you do.
Yeah, I want to dance with him tonight.
The attraction of the dance notwithstanding, it's the competition that has provided the incentive for Erin and her teammates to spend 12 hours on the school bus in which the aforementioned Carl carried them to Watertown. Donna C. told me that each of the athletes from West Virginia had earned his or her place through competition back home.
We do have 2 months of practice prior to this, and we let them try all the events, and we try to pick out the ones that we feel they're the best at and have the best chance of winning a medal. Because they do give medals for the first six. Oh, gosh, forgot to warn you again.
Shoot.
They do get medals for the first six places. So we try to put them in an event that we think that they would possibly get a medal in.
The competitors are divided into categories, depending in part on the degree to which they can see. Runners with partial vision often compete on their own. Distance runners who cannot see are tethered to a sighted runner who had better be able to keep up. Triumphant in the former category was a lanky 18-year-old named B.J. Peterson, who won his heat in the 440 going away. B.J. was representing the Maryland School for the Blind, and while the three young men running against him were reduced to jogging and gasping for breath with 100 yards to go, Peterson cruised by them and then to the wire. There, he revealed his strategy.
I was thinking of basically doing the same thing with the mile, keep up with them, and on once I got right over to the where we started at, just to start running as fast as I could.
Yeah, it worked out that time, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Excellent.
For a minute, I thought I wasn't going to be able to beat that one kid from New York for a second.
BJ has been to three of these tournaments. According to Hannah Marley, who coaches the girls' team at the Overbrook School for the Blind in Philadelphia, athletes with that sort of experience, no matter whose colors they're wearing, are counted on to help their teammates.
We have a few girls who are here for the first time. They're really nervous, but they have the older girls who've been here for 4 or 5 years, and they really just look up to them. And I'm only my second year, so sometimes I look up to them for their help as well, because they sometimes know what's going on better than I do. But the younger girls just follow in the footsteps of the older girls, more or less, yeah.
Let's go, Rashida.
Don't jump.
Do your thing, girl. Don't look to the side.
Watch your ears, please.
Are you ready?
The encouragement was palpable throughout the meet on Saturday, not only at the track, but at the pit, where students were competing in a variation of the triple jump, and in the infield, where they were throwing softballs and footballs and putting the shot. Nor were the competitors the only ones who were excited and happy on this day, though Earl Haley, the coach for the New York Institute track and field team in the Bronx, said he feels this way pretty much all the time. Coach Haley, born in Guyana, has been helping children with various disabilities learn to run and jump and throw for 17 years.
I love to see the kids run. I love to see them compete. And, you know, it gives me great joy just to see them having fun and, you know, and they compete against each other. And I enjoy watching them doing it. And I enjoy working with them. I look forward, you know. I look forward to go to work. I mean, I know a lot of people don't say this, but I look forward to go to work.
If I were to go back to the Perkins campus today, I'd find that the bang of the starting gun, replaced sometimes at a runner's request by the whistle, and the encouraging shouts of coaches and the roar of the excitable crowd had given way to the customary quiet of the green campus. But I'd also find that the competition and its aftermath have not been forgotten by those students fortunate enough to have participated in last Saturday's celebration, a group for whom 19-year-old John Mazzetti, a Perkins student, spoke eloquently about the significance of the track meet.
I think it's really cool. I think because you get a feel of how different schools are run and the different people at different schools. And, you know, as Perkins, we're already very diverse, but to see, you know, multiple cultures intertwine or multiple groups intertwine to make one big group, it's pretty awesome.
The 63rd annual potentially awesome Eastern Athletic Association for the Blind track and field tournament, featuring competitors determined not to let visual impairment prevent them from running, jumping, throwing, and renewing friendships, will occur next May at an EAB member institution to be named later. The story of my visit to the track meet at Perkins School for the Blind will be featured in this week's program. I'll also be checking in with Her Highness of the Hip Check, Helene Elliott, in order to learn whether penguins can in fact fly or whether that distinction will be achieved by the Red Wings in the Stanley Cup Finals. It being Indy Weekend, we'll have two stories from the Brickyard, one involving vehicles that go very fast and one involving animals that move very slowly. And I'll have a conversation with Tom Fari, who's written a book titled Game On, The All-American Race to Make Champions of Our Children. So join us, and remember, you can always listen to the program at onlyagame.org.